It's the So You Can Relate podcast.
Turn it up.
Honestly.
Yo, I think
now, guys, we're back with another episode. We're just going to dive right in because we've already started talking about it today. We've got my lovely sisters on the podcast. Introduce yourself.
Hey, it's Beatrice.
Lovely.
Hi, I'm Jemima.
I'm Adepola.
Our beautiful, my beautiful co-host. I was going to say Ava. And yes, today we're just like, yeah, we're going to see where the conversation takes us. But yeah, we're just talking a bit about growing up in church. So I'm literally with my sisters. We all grew up in the same church together. I was gonna shout out our church, but you know,
let's
not do that. I genuinely love the church we grew up in. 100%. Like, it's our home. All my childhood memories are there.
Attached there.
I literally remember pictures in from the albums where, like, do you remember that day where we all brought a chocolate bar to church?
And no. Like,
what?
We had chocolate bars. Yeah. We were on the stage with chocolate bars. I don't know what the context was.
Yeah. And we were like near the...
We were putting the chocolate bars up and then... I don't know what it was about. And then at the back, it's obviously like, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Yeah.
I actually forgot how that sign, like how ingrained it is.
So ingrained.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Good memories.
I tell you. So can we talk about how our parents used to dress us?
It was Adepola. Sunday.
Who had heels at the age of seven?
Honestly, and you look like. Why are we dressing little girls like women?
Honestly, Sunday best and Sunday best only.
Honestly,
ballroom gowns.
Is it not that you just learned to be silent with discomfort from a young age? Your hair is
slick back to the highest.
The bubbles when they're tying the bubbles around your head and they knock your forehead and veins are popping. And they tell you, be still.
Oh, man.
What pissed me off the most about wearing dresses, like, I was a child. I would obviously want to run around and play with my friends. She was like, if you get that dress dirty, am I not 7 years old? And there's a park. You brought me to a park and you're telling me in a pink dress,
don't get dressed,
not to dance. Yeah. Not to play. I'm sorry, I have an issue with that because I was, of course, I get it dirty. And then you're going to slap. Let's not do that.
But yeah, we were dressed so dramatically, like, you know, we used to come and I think now, like, nowadays, most churches are really casual, like, how they dress.
I love that.
But yeah, we're talking about early 2000s, you know, it was like, yeah, you come to church looking correct.
It's like you're going to a ball gown.
Yeah, honestly.
Tights.
I was saying the tights that I wore in the past. Just thinking of them now, like,
giving my skin crawl.
Itchiest, ugliest tights they can find.
With these horrible, like, no, yeah.
With my
no.
black heels for Matalan.
So crazy.
Like, your shoe zone, mate. Oh, man.
What is you guys' earliest memories of church?
Earliest memories of church? Wow, that's a. Come back to me.
I think I have one. I think it was not really Sunday. If it was Sunday, it was mainly seeing you, but I think my earliest memory was when we were to come for Wednesday night prayer.
Yes.
And sleep.
Yes.
At the back of the church. Our parents had like a...
On chairs?
No, at the back of the church. Okay. But like, they'll bring like duvets, like big duvets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a sleepover.
We're like 3 or 4 years old. We're not going to stay up until 1 a.m. to pray or like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
They're praying intensely. But they've made a bed for the kids.
Mm-hmm,
so we'll literally come from school, sleep quickly, have food. Mm-hmm. Back to church,
mm-hmm.
and then pray,
and then Thursday, what are we doing? Going back to school.
So yeah, they'll literally pray all night, and I think I remember because I remember just waking up and being like, "Oh, I'm not in bed. I'm at church."
Yeah,
that was a thought.
Yeah,
and I remember seeing Joyce obviously, like, and then other like kids as well, and I was like, oh, "Okay," and then falling back to sleep as well. That's my earliest memory, or my strongest earliest memory.
Yeah, I have vivid like memories of like sections of our church. Remember the little room that we had downstairs? It was known as the Ugandan room. That was where all the Ugandans congregated to do all night prayer on Friday evenings as well.
Yeah.
It's funny because like when I would be at primary school and I had this like best friend growing up and she was not Christian. And she was, she would be like, oh, so what did you get up to on the weekend? And I'd be like, oh, Wednesday we went to church, Friday we went to church and Sunday we went to church. And she looked at me, she was like, oh, okay. Is there anything else that you did? And it just never occurred to me that you would spend any other time outside of anywhere else. Yeah. It was you go to school and then you go to church. That was my life. Yeah. I couldn't understand anyone else doing anything different. And so because obviously that's how we grew up, yes, that's what we did, even with you, Joyce. So me and my siblings, that's just what we did. So I couldn't understand. I just had my, like, majority of my childhood, I think for the first, 10 years, we just grew up in school and church. Yeah.
Literally, that's what it was.
What school, was your choices as a mother fella?
My earliest memory of church. I just remember every time I would get to church, I would have to look for you guys.
Yeah.
I would never sit with my parents. I'd be like, where's Jemima? This bitch was like, if they didn't come, my heart would be shattered.
Honestly, when we would go to
Joyce
church.
Joyce went to Uganda for 6 weeks.
Yes.
That summer holiday was the longest.
Longest.
Period.
6 weeks of my life.
I'd be crying. Like,
we'd be like, we cannot function without the Joyce.
Honestly.
The Joyce.
Not the Joyce. And they used to call me good when I was a kid.
So we'd be like, where's good? Is that why you know
Instagram is Joyce Good?
Yeah, that's actually my middle name, you know?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I was baby so good.
Yeah, so we'd be like,
where's good? Where's good?
Honestly.
And we would ask, but mommy, when's good coming back? She'd be like, she's still in Uganda. Oh no. Do we have to go to church without Joyce?
Honestly, I was like, why am I here?
I couldn't. Like,
there was no Sunday school. There was no church. What
we doing? No. Sorry, I was about to divert the conversation, but then I remembered. Adefla, what's your...
My earliest memories, ironically, sitting next to my mum in church because...
Aww.
It's not cute.
Okay.
It's just dorky. Like, I was such a mummy's girl.
Oh, that's cute.
Were you? Yeah,
but she sat at the front and I'd voluntarily go and sit with...
What? Out of... Wow.
All the kids would be in the back and I'd actually be sitting there...
In the front, turning scripture.
In between my mum and one other auntie called Auntie Shadda, I'd sit in between two aunties.
Oh my God.
Voluntarily.
And they watch everything you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd be there. What I used to do is I had this notebook and I'd be listening to the message. And every time they mentioned a Bible verse,
I would
write at the end of the book.
Yeah.
And every single sermon, I would basically see the scriptures from maybe 2 weeks ago. Mm. And I'd find it in the Bible. Then I'd write it down word for word. Then go.
Oh my God. Homework.
I was such a dedicated to the gospel.
Wow.
Christian, you were.
I literally spent every single sermon just writing down.
Wow. Nah, that is... I'm inspired.
My mum was very happy.
I'm inspired.
Oh, that's so good.
Overjoyed.
Yeah.
I remember playing with the kids in my church still, like during children's section, and having things like Children's Day and just learning how to socialize with people and being comfortable around other children and like doing cartwheels and like eating chicken and chips after service.
Oh, the chicken and chips after Sunday service hits different.
Yeah.
Oh,
the best. I think I need to go to Stonebridge to have honestly, because that was
really Chicken good. Cottage, North London. It's where it's at.
Yeah,
so I'd give up on Morley's, and I'm from South.
Yeah,
born and bred. I'd do it.
Yeah. I was gonna say in line with what you said, Adefla, about like writing down scriptures and stuff. I remember kneeling down and using the chair as like a table drawing just horrid images, not scriptures, just strange images for no reason. Boredom.
The kids doing that.
Oh my God.
I think it's because there was no relation. I get because obviously the pastor's preaching to adults. So you're like
it's
7.
Not for you. Yeah, right. It's not for you. And they're talking about how God can bless your mortgage. I don't have one. So,
so I'm just like, but the thing is, your parents will give you paper and pen. There was 4 of us. We would just sit there silently. They'll say, don't fall asleep, but they could be attentive.
Yes.
It's not for
me.
Can we also talk about how sitting down in worship was not an option for us?
Oh, my goodness.
You will stand up.
You will. Whether you are feeling faint.
Mom would pinch your
whether
leg.
You are feeling faint.
She'll go back to like praying, but it was so slyly.
Exactly.
And then be, like clapping her hands, and I'm like, babe.
If you're not constantly clapping during praise and not constantly closing your eyes and raising your hands during worship.
You're not engaged intensely.
They used to have liberty prayer straight after. Did you guys have liberty prayer?
No. What's that?
No. I don't know. I think they just called it that, but it was just prayer, basically.
Yeah.
50 minutes of prayer after praise and worship.
50 minutes of prayer?
Straight afterwards.
Wait, what?
So you'd be standing for 45 minutes.
Wait, let me understand. 50 minutes of prayer.
No, 15.
15. Okay.
Not 50, yeah, 15.
I was about to say 50. I was going to say.
When did you leave that church?
Honestly.
What time?
No, 15. It'd be like prayers for family, prayers for the world.
We did something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, where you would, so they'd be like, turn to your left and pray for your neighbors. Yeah.
So, like, in the last minute or two of praise and worship, so like, 28 minutes in, for example, somebody would now come up, finish off the praise and worship, whether or not they could sing, they'd finish it. And then they would now lead us into 15 minutes of prayer.
Okay, I see.
And that was annoying because you knew the singing was over, but now we're praying, so I still can't sit down.
Yeah.
So I'm holding onto the chair in front of me just for stress. Yeah. Just so I can get through this.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's really last 15 Lord. Minutes.
Yeah. When you're a lazy kid, I remember sometimes they would say, stretch your hand forth and pray. And is you would be so lazy that you're holding that other hand to your hand for you to stretch your hand. You can't stretch your hand for 2 minutes.
Now, why was that workout?
I would always do like on my leg and I'm like...
Yeah, why was that workout?
You might as well just do this.
So that thought has come back to me.
Yes.
So when it was... There was a distinct moment when I remember that, like... I don't know if anybody else went through this, but me and my sister definitely went through this, where we would actually go to church just to see Joyce.
Oh, yes.
Like,
stop it, guy.
I don't know what to tell you. It would be, it was one of those ones where I wasn't going to church to pray with my Heavenly Father. I was going to church to see my cousin, see my sister,
and
see like
her,
my other, and obviously our other cousins as well. Like, I was going to church for gathering. That's
same.
That is literally it. Like I would enjoy it. Was
years though, I feel like that was.
It
like,
was definitely think, yeah. It was in the like late the no, pre-teens. But it started like young. Like I remember, like I used to enjoy Sunday school, but then there was a point where I'd be like, oh yeah, let's get through Sunday school quickly so we can go and like chill and have like moment.
Have fun, yeah.
That moment where you know your parents are taking I don't know what 3 hours to speak to each other to leave this to leave.
No, it's annoying.
And you know when they say, oh, we're put your shoes on, we're going, and you're saying, oh, okay. So because she has not picked up her bag,
right? Exactly.
We're not leaving. We have another hour. So it was one of those ones where I just like. I went through a period of just, you know, attending church for gatherings just to see people.
A lot. I think that was more like, pre-teens, like I would say like 11. When I was like old enough to know what was going on.
Yeah.
Sunday school or be in the service. But I was like, it still doesn't hit me. So
yeah, it doesn't like
identify.
What am I here
for? Fellowship, my friends, my cousin Joyce, literally. Yeah. And literally, if Joyce wasn't in, I'm like, I'm not going to church.
I was like, I will not go. Did you guys have a choice?
Not really.
Like when we were younger, not really.
No, I think like from 16, it was like, you cannot.
Yeah.
And at this point, we had started our youth kind of thing. So I was like, there was a reason for us to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think when I hit uni and like that kind of ended, I was like,
yeah, bye.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see my face.
Yeah.
Unless it's for Christmas, that's it.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where it was a slow integration in our house, like where you actually had a choice or not. But when we didn't have a choice, I would literally be looking at the time. And the thing is, because again, we would never get to church on time. Mm-hmm. Our service started at 11. We lived in Elephant and Castle, like SE1.
Mm-hmm.
And then fair enough. We lived a good hour away. We would leave church. Oh, sorry, we'd leave home at what, 10:30? And what time does the service start? 11. We would never be on time. So it was one of those ones where I knew 1 o'clock. By 1 o'clock, I'd be chilling. It would be a good Sunday.
Yeah.
But that was the thought.
Yeah, and then we would leave church at around 4.
Right. Church
would
finish at 1, but because they're talking in the car park. Oh, they'll be in the car park and we were like, can we go to the park at least? Because we're actually sick of playing in an empty car lot.
We would leave after the pastor left.
Just was it just know. Us?
Honestly, it was just
not
us.
Not even the pastor.
Was,
the people
honestly.
That are closing down the church. The church.
Yeah.
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 They would lock the building. Why, you may ask? We don't know. I remember I have memories of us. So like there was like a thing called Bridge Park Complex, yeah, near our church, yeah. And so we would like be scrammaging for food, like beggars on the road. And our parents are just like, the kids are they're hungry. If they were to listen to this, I mean, we never did that. How can you say such? But it happened. And we would have like obviously coins on us or money we got from them or whatever. So we'll go to the vending machines.
Yeah.
I remember one day, I think it was Jemima, you were definitely there, and I think it was Micaiah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the luck of the Irish, let me say. There were two packets that came out of the vending machine.
It was like,
you would think it was Christmas Day.
Yeah. It was so ecstatic for two crisps. And it wasn't like they were big share. There was a small one person sharing.
Yeah.
But we would be so like, but this was
back in the day when they used to actually fill the crisp packets, you know.
Yeah.
Mate, that day was like, it was like, we were ecstatic. Like, oh my God, what's happened?
It's actually weird memories like that.
Yeah, church was fun, I think, though. I think it got interesting, I think, as, yeah, as pre-teens, I was more, like, involved with the church, like, with the youth and stuff like that. We had a really good youth leader. She was the best, I think. She was really, like, for us. And I mean, like, there was some point, we didn't really notice it at the time, but we found out later that she'll use her own money to kind of, like, fund things at a gallery like that.
Wow.
She'll drive us. Like, we used to live, we lived in, like, South London.
Mm-hmm.
The church was in West Northwest.
Yeah.
And she would drive her car, though she lived, like, 10 minutes from the church,
yeah,
all the way to South to drop us home to make sure we got home safely.
Yeah.
And love. She was a really blessed woman, I think. Like, I think she had, like, the best intentions for us.
Mm. I know, like, she was, like, serving for real. Do you got what I mean? It wasn't just about... And it was weird, because, like, most people's stories are that their youth leaders were really young, like, you know, 25, 30, but our youth leader was older than our parents. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. She's she's like in her 60s now. Yeah. But she was just so down with the kids.
She honestly was.
She really didn't feel it. Yeah.
She really was.
She was amazing. She is amazing.
She didn't judge you.
Yeah, exactly.
Great advice. Like, honestly.
When do you guys feel like that transition happened? In like, you go into church because you have to go to church and you're just doing the routine of it, and then you've been like, okay, no, this, I understand that this maybe means something, or I want to explore this for myself. What is this? Like, why are we coming here every single... When did it kind of make more sense for you guys as individuals?
Don't think it has yet.
I think it did. I can admit that. I think it was when I was like... Because I was on a point where my mum was working Sunday sometimes.
Okay.
She wasn't able to drive us to church. So I was like using my own money to get to church. And like, it wasn't that bad. I was like 16, but I was still paying like £1.50. It was like cheap, obviously, but like... As a kid that's not working, I'm using my own pocket money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I actually want to get to church. I want to get there on time. I still had the spirit of lateness from my mother. I adopted that. But I would like try and get out of my way to wake up early every Sunday.
Earlier
every day. And like actually travel to like see my fellow church people and the church and the sermon or whatever it might be. But I think that's when I was like, this is like gone from... I'm forced to be here. Oh, I don't want to be here. So like only going to church to see friends, then being, okay, I'm going because I actually want to be in a fellowship with my friends that are similar mindset, similar age, like similar life choices and whatnot, and actually enjoying what was being said in the sermons and stuff. So,
yeah.
For us, we at our church, there was Sunday school up until you turned 16. So everyone was dreading the 16th year because you knew like you had to sit in the main service now. Yeah. Like you were supposed to sit in the main service. There was nothing that went on. So we were actually the first year that we were like, so we're not going upstairs.
We
are staying down here. And then they introduced this thing called 16 plus.
Yeah.
So I remember like, we had like a massive monitor in our church that would put the lyrics for worship. Yeah. And so they would have like this yellow, like...
The small little like subtext at the top.
To tell us to go down.
Yeah.
I would be waiting for that subtext. Like, oh my God, come on.
Honestly.
Come on.
One of them ones.
And you literally dash out the seat and be like, mate, I'm gone. I'm literally gone.
I remember that. I remember we refused to... We were like, I shall not sit in the main service.
Like, there was like 15 kids that were around the same age.
Yeah.
So if they all decided to like... go and sit in the service, it's like a whole, it's a small number of us that are not going to be attentive to like listen to the sermon. And it wasn't really for us again, it was more about family, if it's about like your spiritual journey that is like 10 plus years or whatever it could be. I don't know, it could have been, but it was not there was not a connection. So it was like, we cannot go there. I refuse to go there. I would rather, you know, stay here a couple of years more. So it would make sense. And then we can actually, it kind of, I think from there, that's how we started our youth properly, I think. Because it was actually getting to know them constantly and have debates and stuff. Our debates were actually quite cool, I think, with other people and other friends and stuff.
100%. What I wanted to ask a question. Mm. Adef, because you went to a different church to us.
Yes.
Did your church allow questions? Like, you know them questions where...
The questions weren't really allowed.
Where, like, you're not really... You know, I don't know how it is with other churches, but yeah. Did they allow questions? All types of questions.
I mean, what do you mean, like...
Did they welcome, like...
dissenters?
Like, as in, like, were you allowed to ask, but why does God do this? Or, but why did God do that? And did you get answers? Is one? Yeah.
I never saw adults proposing those questions because they don't really question, if you get what I mean. If any of those questions were asked, it would be in the youth church. And we had, so my mom started the youth church in my church, like, I don't know, 96, 97 or something like that.
Wow.
So she's like the head of youth in my church. And she was teaching teenagers up until I was maybe 11 or 12.
Wow.
And then she got, you know, two mentees, if you get what I mean. Mm. He now started the youth church. So by the time I was like maybe 13, I think, and entered the youth church or 14, they were now leading.
Right.
I hate.
And they were really good. And they were like these young people as well, like even up to age 30 at that point. So they were super young, so close to us. They knew what we were going through, etc. So if we had questions, they were welcome there. But no questions would have been asked in the main auditorium.
Really?
Yeah, because what questions are your parents asking to their pastor?
Yeah.
Pastor, is God real?
I find that so strange, you know.
But in the youth church, yeah, questions were asked. We had conversations about all kinds of things that you'd expect to be asked in a youth church. Things from temptation, things to, I don't know, relationships and your classic Bible stories as well. One of the youth church leaders, he was always about like motivation and like bettering yourself. He'd always give us talks about just being good at what you do and just reaching for the stars, that kind of thing as well. So it was a really, really nice setting. There was a lot of drama there, none of which I was ever involved in because I was quite young when the drama was happening. I was quite new to it. So I was more of a spectator and I was also really quiet as well. But yeah, I never felt like it was a kind of place that I couldn't ask a question. But at that time, I didn't have any questions anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd actually maybe watch other people wonder things and I'd learn from their questions and the answers they were given, but I never really questioned too much. I was just kind of there. I've always just been a bit of a fly on the wall in church, just like, oh, okay, I guess this is happening. Like, I didn't ask. I was just there.
Yeah, the I feel like I'm still a fly. Like, when you asked the question of, like, when did it click? I was like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm waiting for the clicking.
Yeah.
I don't know. When did you stop being the fly?
I don't think I've ever stopped being the fly. Even the church I am now, I still feel like I'm a fly in the wall. I've always.
Do you think it's because like, not like it's like, for example, if you are like in, how do I say this? Like you're in a ministry or something. Is it because obviously I don't know? Obviously you've been there. You said you've only been there for 2 years.
Yeah, like 2-3 years.
But if it's a thing of like actually, if I'm in a body of the church where it's like I'm doing some kind of like service.
Serving, yeah.
So that could be, I don't know, that's why I always think that's
definitely a part of it. It's so weird because in my church growing up, I was quite a quiet and reserved person in the youth church. I didn't really feel like I was part of the people that are a lot more out there, more loud, who are a lot more bold with their questions and what they're going through.
Yeah.
So I would be a witness to that. I would see that happening. First year of uni, went to church every now and then. Joyce knows I was extremely inconsistent. And then we started leading TRF in second year. And that was my first time ever like being in a quote unquote ministry and actually leading people as if I even knew anything. I don't know. we were there and I didn't feel like a fly in the wall. Like, how can you be a leader that's a fly in the wall?
Yeah, right. You can't.
It was actually by force. And I grew so much. Yeah. And then leaving uni, pandemic, and then there's now. Going to the church I'm going to now, not being part of the ministry, it is a lot easier to just kind of slide in and slide out.
Yeah. Right.
And to just spectate and to not necessarily feel like you're a part of everything. And I see people in the church who are part of the ministry and I feel like I know what they feel because I too have been part of a ministry as well. It's so weird, like, no longer being part of that group and just being like on the outside, kind of receiving from all the work of the ministry and not feeling like you're putting too much towards it. And that's where I am right now, so that's why I feel like a fly. But I also know what it's like to be, I don't know, the main insect. Flying around the room. But I feel like I'm quite comfortable where I am because I still have so much going on personally and like so many questions and stuff right now. I don't think it'd be right for me to not be anything but a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to go to this church.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really am.
I've been looking for a church for a long time.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I've been looking for it. Like, because we grew up in church. So for me, like, having a Sunday, don't get me wrong, at first I was like, oh, this is nice. 2 days a week. I mean, two days of the week where I just can chill. But then, when I moved outside of London for about almost just under 2 years, I noticed that it was something I definitely needed to put back into my life. And then when I came back to London, I was like, yeah, okay, I need to. And then I started talking to my sister. I was like, guys, I really want to find a church. Like, I really want to find, I haven't done anything to do that yet. I'm going to change that next week. I need to stop speaking so fast. I'm so sorry. having that Sunday and having that fellowship, I definitely want to, I know that I'm missing that, and I need to do that to add to so many things in my life, like being able to sing again and like, not saying I'm gonna go into that ministry,
but
I'm just like, as in being able to have that, even just singing, like in praise and worship, having that, I know that will strengthen my voice, you know, right. And then also having that fellowship, and then also adding to my social circle as well. So I'm hoping to no longer buzz and fly. We'll see what happens.
So you don't want to be a fly on the wall anymore.
Yeah. The thing is, so like when I asked the question of did you guys have, you know, ask questions in your church, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I asked questions in our family, and because when I asked questions, I was told we don't ask that. We just, you know, God, we don't ask God why. It is not our prayers.
You need to have faith.
You cannot ask God why. You must just accept. It was one of those ones where it was like, we don't ask why. We just do. We don't ask. We don't say no. That's for me. I was like, I cannot. I was asking, why do we do this? Why is it like that? Why? And because I got so many no, we don't do that. No, we didn't. And I even remember one time I went straight up to my head pastor. Yeah, but I was like, let me not do that. went straight up. I went up to the head pastor, and I was like, why does God, you know, why is it that if he knows somebody is going through something, and I was at the time going through something, and I was like, why is he not, where is he? I was like, how do I know he's still there? And he gave me a generic answer. Yeah, he gave me a generic answer, and I was just like, well, I think it's time I leave this church. And literally shortly after that, I would have been about 17.
Yeah, okay.
I would have been about 17, and I had been ill for a couple of years, so I was, at this point, I was annoyed. So I went to him and I asked him, I was like, what is going? I was like, I'm going to need you to give me an answer. And he gave me a generic answer, which I guess obviously he must have had his things going on as well. I mean, it was after the service, and he must have had his own stuff to do that day. So I guess he gave me an answer which he thought would, in a way, cover the bandage, or, you know, help in some way. And it had the opposite effect, unfortunately. And shortly after that, I was like to my mum, yeah, I'm not going to church, babes. It's not happening. She was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I've done my part. I can't, you know, you're at an age now. And shortly after that, I just stopped going to church altogether. Because I was just like, well, if you don't have an answer for me, I'm going to go and look elsewhere and see if I can find something else.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like the fact that obviously we grew up in church, you don't know anything else. So it's like, you just believe what you're told all the time. Like, it's weird. And that's what I was saying before. Like, I find it so weird that even in the adult side of church, like in the grown-up section, they don't ask questions, but they must have questions.
They must.
They must have so many, and so many of them must have the same questions, but they don't ask.
Mm.
And I think that's obviously their generation as well, as sometimes that generation don't tend to ask questions, do they?
They don't.
I think even what you were saying, Beatrice, about, like, you know, not being able to ask questions and that kind of thing, because there were no explanations, I think it led to a lot of fear in the church.
Yeah.
Like, especially like with all the even the spiritual aspects of things, like, we were kids, I did a lot of people watching, and I would just not understand, like, it would be really confusing, like, there were concepts or things that were going on that you, like, for example, for someone to go to the church and like go to the front of the church and a pastor prays for them and they fall down, and I didn't understand what that was.
Yeah,
I didn't understand what speaking in tongues was. I didn't understand what
speaking in tongues, I remember being taught all of that, how to speak in tongues, and they were like, just start saying words, and I was like, what do you mean?
Is that how you teach a baby to speak English? Is that what you say? Just speak.
What?
No, right. But can we be
taught how, like, can we teach the pastors how to teach speaking in tongues? No, can we?
Because I think what Joyce is saying as well, even the whole, like, this, as a child, we're in a main service and there's people screaming, shouting, convulsing their bodies.
Literally.
Yeah? And they're meant to just sit there and be like, this is normal. Mm-hmm. But they're going to fall on me and trample me. No.
Stop that.
No.
And then you know what I loved?
People have chest injuries.
Honestly. No. After they convulse, do we not go and put a blanket on them?
What is that?
We go and put a blanket on the person that's just convulsed. And no wonder we would think, oh my God, they've died. We go and cover their face.
And then when we were kids, we used to play church, we would be the most dramatically... Watch children and you'll learn a lot from them.
Honestly.
They imitate what we see.
We do. And even in the background, like, there will be like let's say we're at home, and there's like a Benny Hinn
sermon
going on in the background, or a sermon about when I went to hell and I saw Satan,
the red eyes.
Lord. You've got a 4-year-old in the room. Like, honestly, there was no. I do think there's some aspects of Christian faith that are age sensitive.
Yes, I think
sometimes, even like with preachers coming in and saying the demonic world and deeper into your mummy's monsters and your daddy's demons.
Wow. Can we talk about watching the what's that play? Watching Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames.
We are watching
people being dragged to hell. Why are we watching that in church? First of all, why is somebody playing the devil? Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, you know how earlier I said that my earliest memory is the church thing? I lied. my earliest church memory, we weren't at church, we were at our flat in South London. You were there sleeping over, and Mum had put on the tape Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames.
Oh my God.
Joyce, me and you were crying.
Yeah.
And I don't mean crying, I mean we were crying in fear.
Wailing.
Because it was like, we're seeing people scream. And I know it's acting, but to kids, I don't know what acting
is. I think I mentally blocked that out.
Yeah, honestly.
Because Joyce, we were literally crying. And Mum was like, why are you crying?
I'm like, this is what happens when you don't give your life to Christ.
But babe, I'm 3.
He would drug you to hell.
You're actually 4 years old. And you know what? It's traumatic.
And the thing is, you have to blanket it, as you said, and kind of pretend like, okay, I know what this is, but I don't know what it is. Because how do I explain to someone what this is? I don't even, as a child as well, I wouldn't even know how to even begin to say that and speak to someone that's not Christian to be like, well, this
and
is
then
what
your
my
mate comes to you and says, oh, what do you get up to over the weekend?
I went to work. So, like, the crux of the thing is that you have a lot of fear attached to this thing that's supposed to be a loving relationship with God, because it was introduced in, you don't understand what's going on. It's fearful. Like, even I remember at church, they'll be like, and I understand, do you know what, I don't want people to get me wrong, I know that, like, I really am a big believer that God does speak to people and stuff like that, but sometimes, even I remember as a child, like, there'll be someone that comes in and they'll be like, you
and they finger you out on the
crowd.
Then
they come and they ask you to get up.
But then they speak
personal. I will run away.
I'm never.
And then you're nervous. I say, you look dodgy now.
You're shaking.
And then they say, there's a demon in you. There's a demon inside you.
No, honestly. And then I remember even like in my head saying, okay, I'm going to time my toilet break in 10 minutes when things get really heated up in here. I'll be gone for 25 minutes. And then, well, you can't go to the toilet again, can you? So once you've used that up, and then you used to get your timing right. If you stand up at the wrong time, and be like, just come.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, God, I can see in you a warrior spirit.
Oh my goodness.
You know, you've been called for the nation. And
on top of that, you are bursting to go to the toilet.
You're bursting to go to the toilet, or you at least have told yourself you need to go to the toilet so you can get out of there. And the consequences for bunking service were lethal.
Oh,
like,
you guys bunked service. If they caught you in the toilet.
Listen, me, I was a daredevil.
She was our ringleader.
I was the ringleader. Yeah. I would look my mother in the eye and I'd get up and be like, just gonna go to the toilet. She wouldn't see me. She wouldn't, and then she'd be like, what did you look? Nah, mum, I went downstairs. And the thing is with me, I have a very bad habit of being extremely good at lying. And I say this, I feel like I should add it on my CV, really and truly, but I won't. But she would be like, so what did you, and I'll just make up a whole story. And she'd be like, okay. But I just got, you know, like, because churches like are so loud sometimes, you just hear in the back of your head like what they're saying. So I would just hold on to one two scriptures pastor would throw out, and I'm like, yeah, he mentioned the scripture, yeah, he did this, yeah. And I would just talk, but no, I would leave.
Where did you go?
Where did we go? Downstairs into the Ugandan room.
Oh, I thought you guys meant you like left the building and
No, you can't leave the building. No, I weren't too bad. I weren't. No.
Catch you back.
Yeah.
Go to the blue room.
Go to the blue. That's the one. The blue room.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but no, I would always be fearful when they would bring a pastor that was not in the church, and he was specifically known for like casting out demons or.
You know, you got those 5 first minutes to suss out this pastor to see what kind of vibe are you on when they're coming on.
Just for hallelujah,
you know it's gonna be a long day.
All of them.
Every now and again, I don't know how often it would happen in your church, but it wasn't too, because our church was quite like multicultural and multiracial as well.
Yes. Oh, really?
So so it was like we had 11 to 1. 11 to 1. We would stick to that time, really and truly. It would be rare when we would have
what
a whole
church. Did you attend? Sorry.
No, as
it
in
wasn't ours.
No. No. We would stick we would stick to the like time frame of like we wouldn't go overboard. You know, some churches you start at 11 and you literally finish at 7 p.m. I've been invited to one church like that, and I said I would never go back.
No, it wasn't that bad.
But as in, we would go overboard. We wouldn't stick to exactly, but we had a structure. Do you get what I mean? There was praise and worship. There was the announcements. There was maybe the some celebrations, and then there was the sermon, and then there was the prayer bit, and we would do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there was every now and again that prayer night or that service that would go on, simply because it was a pastor from outside that had come in to do a demon casting session.
Or you dare not speak in that service as well. You can't even bus conversation.
It was one of those ones where you cannot even time your toilet break. You have to sit down. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the minute you stand up, you're being called.
I vividly remember, especially like in my tween teenage years, like when things that would happen, I would literally say to God, if you get me out of this service unscathed,
I will serve you
with my life.
Honestly, I hate that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh man,
very scary.
A lot of trauma in church. My experience, anyway. Personal.
I think that all of this could have been avoided through
adequate
explanation and communication.
And I understand if it was a small thing of saying, you know what, you're at the age where you're not going to understand the depth and the quality of what I'm trying to say to you. But for now, understand that the church loves you and what we're going through is not a thing of you to be scared for. They're kind of like welcoming, kind of like basic kind of thing.
Mm.
But there was none of that. It was just like, you were not later, don't worry. And it's like, cool, but it's halting me now. So how do we move past from here? So,
I have a question. When you said the word welcoming, something, I got a trigger. You know how like when you would reach that teen age where your parents would then tell you, so now you need to start bringing some people to church.
Oh my God.
And they would tell you,
I never did that.
You now need to, I did it.
Yeah, you did.
I did to some of my friends. I did. And she still remembers even up to this day when I brought her to church. But anyway, so it was one of those ones where it was like, you would be told, you now need to start bringing some people. You know, you need to start collecting some crowd.
You're making this sound like a cult. I love our chat. You must bring them all to the fold.
No, but it's true. We were being told this stuff. How did mainly from, but also from like other like aunties and uncles as well.
Yeah, it was encouraged. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was encouraged. So how did you like explain that to your people or the people that you knew at the time who were not Christian?
No, I don't think I was ever encouraged to bring people to church. There was a time where, when we were teenagers, people would bring their friends to church. And I'd be like, oh, you better girl than me because I wouldn't bring people here. Like, I was actually embarrassed. I was embarrassed of my church. I was quite embarrassed. And I can say that now. At the time, I wouldn't admit it. But I was embarrassed. Mm.
Do you think it was the uncertainty of what could happen at the church?
For me,
that's what it is.
You got one later Sunday.
Yeah, no. For me, it was the fact that when I know that I'm bringing this person, and I remember telling my friend who I did bring, I said to her, "So they're going to ask if there are any newcomers. Mm-hmm. Now, you will be." I prepared. I was like, "Now you will be asked to stand up, and they will ask you. They may even give you the mic." And she was like, babe, I don't think I can do this. I was like, I'm sorry, babe. Now that you've stayed the night and it's Saturday, tomorrow is Sunday morning, yeah, you have no choice. You're coming to church. I remember the girl had, honestly, she was like, she still remembers it up to this day. Mm. And she was like to me, she was like, okay. And she was being prepared for the, for me, it was the welcoming. It was, when you said the word welcome, that's what, it was being, and then also like when your friend who's also a Christian would be like, oh, come to my church, you know, come, it's all right. I always think about, how do they welcome people? Do they make them stand up? Do they ask their the welcoming in each different church is different.
I like the one in our church where they're just like,
I'm not gonna lie, I was doing a little segue. How did you
know? When she clapped, I was like, are they gonna make me stand up? PTSD. Because honestly, I was,
I'm
like,
not gonna lie, it was a little segue.
It, it's like, it's not like I understand, you're like, oh yeah, welcoming, clapping with you, but it's like I'm now being applauded by strangers I don't know, and then it's just not, I don't like that. But I really like the way your church welcomed me today. I was like, uh-huh, it was very general. Like, oh, if there are any new people, let's clap for them or whatever. And yeah, I was like, that's
there
sweet.
There was no spotlighting. No spotlighting. In my church, they used to be like, if anybody knew, everybody would be like.
Yeah, they all turned.
Everybody would turn around.
What is
and
that?
And the choir would start singing one of their things.
Oh, oh my God.
And then people from the front would now go up to them and start shaking their hand and give them a newcomer's booklet.
You are not going anywhere. You are staying here.
Nah, let's. Wow. Why is it like that? And you know what's funny? Welcome. From their point of view, they are doing everything. Like, that's the bit. They're like, this is love. This is how we show you love. But from the other person's point of view, they're like, I cannot wait to get out of here.
Honestly, yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my segue. How does the church welcome?
Yeah, nicely.
Oh, nice.
It's like, I think maybe at the beginning, I don't always remember if it's at the beginning, they say something, but at the end, they'll be like, let's just give a round of applause for people that are here today. That are,
oh,
new,
lovely.
Everybody claps, everybody minds their business.
Yeah, and after they can be like, oh, hi, who are you?
And yeah, and like, obviously the welcome team will know if you're new. So okay, somebody cool from them will go up to you during like that, yeah, 5 minute at the beginning or at the end and say, oh, hi, welcome to church, whatever. It's not like a big fat spotlight is on you. It doesn't, okay, make you feel, yeah, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so many experiences in church just make you feel so uncomfortable. Yeah. And I just like it when churches don't do that,
yeah, mm-hmm,
because it makes you realise it never had to be that way.
It never, yeah, had to be. Or when they, yeah, give you the tithe and offering basket straight away.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't even have a basket. We have, yeah, like
PayPal. I was PayPal. So, I was like, oh, yeah, come on, technology.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that. That's quite,
but I think one thing that that's, I really, amazing, like about our church as well is there's, when someone's new, there's not the assumption that they're here to stay.
Okay.
Yeah. Which someone else might say, oh, like, you should assume, but like, no, it's just that you're visiting. Like, I've, yeah, met you for the first time. Like, mm, like even our pastor said a while back, like, it's more about loving people, mm, than, oh, I'm talking to you because I want you to stay. Or, yeah, I'm talking to you because I want you to join this thing. Like,
yeah,
it's about loving first. It's about just being like, oh, nice to meet you. Like, you're just, yeah, a new person. Like, it might be your only time that you come, but nice, yeah, to meet you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, I think that, yeah, there's a lot of this assumption of, oh, you're here to stay forever, so we're going to take down all your details. And like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, you know where you have to fill in a form?
Yeah, give me, exactly, your email.
Exactly.
I told you the one time I went to some church and at the end they were like, so what department are you going to serve in?
So first time.
I got here 3 hours ago.
What?
For the first time ever.
Department?
And imagine, they were calling me during the week asking what, no, department
they
I'm
were not.
In. Yeah.
That's a cult. You should.
It's, yeah, just people like,
yeah, cultism.
Gathering, yeah, gathering bodies.
Gathering bodies. Yeah. Not even thinking about like.
Numbers game.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. And it's like, yeah, what is your objective here? Because clearly you don't care for me as a person. You want me just to serve and be
a body. I think for it's you. Also because like people are usually wowed by numbers. And it's like, well, yeah, if I go to a church or they expect people to have this train of thought. If I go to a church and there's bare people here, it must be because the church is good at what it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It must be because the pastor's good at preaching, yeah, because people are getting healed, because people's finances are going up, because people are getting blessed.
Wow, okay.
You know, this transactional. And I, yeah, feel like, yeah, churches that basically recruit people to stay, yeah, to make the church look amazing. They really, yeah, encourage this transactional model of faith. Like, well, it must be because people serve here,
yeah,
that they stay. Is, yeah. And they stay because they get blessed. So let me stay too.
Yeah. Wow.
And they just have the whole idea is just incorrect. Based, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
I trust small churches more than I trust big churches.
I hear that.
Because small churches have the same people coming back every
constantly
single week. Big churches have people flying in, flying, no, out,
in and out,
falling. Like, it's, I not think, the, yeah, same.
Mm. And there's this sense of like accountability in smaller churches, mm, and Yes, I enjoy that sense of real community, because I think that's what the church really should be like.
It should be.
People. Everyone knows everyone.
You know, you've got 10,000 people coming into one building. It just feels like a conference every single week, you know. But one thing that I did want to mention, though, like even in growing up or just like our home church life type of thing, I think there were really positive things.
Do you get what
I
mean?
Yeah. I think like there were so many principles that I learned and foundations that were built that I think were really amazing and set me up for Christian life in general. Like I learned about the importance of prayer, I learned about the beauty of community, I learned about just the basic things, the importance of reading your word and people actually. I think also I learned a lot about love, like even when talking about Sandra, our youth leader, she loved us. Like she might not have known every single scripture in the Bible, but boy did she show us love. Did she show us what service looked like, honestly, and laying your time aside. Who wants to hang about around with a bunch of 14-year-olds when you're 58? Like it's not your idea of a lovely Tuesday night, but she would literally do that all the time,
invite us in her home,
exactly, all of that. And she literally like she mothered us, but she also made it feel like she was a friend, like someone that we could trust type of thing.
Shout out to Sandra.
Shout out to her. Like that's really, really commendable.
Yeah.
And I think even in my Christian journey up till now, I do look back and think, my foundations were definitely built there.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of positivity that came from me growing up in that church. And it's almost full circle because our church building has actually like been closed down.
Yeah.
And so they've moved location and stuff. But I think the formative years, and to people out there that maybe like have kids or younger siblings and stuff like that, I think formative years in any faith is really important, and definitely in Christianity is very important, because it will literally inform the way. And having to unlearn that stuff, maybe negative things you've learned, is a long story. So coming from a positive background, it might not be perfect, will definitely inform the rest of your Christian journey.
It does.
I
agree with you so much. Like I was even saying to, I think I was saying this to you the other day, like when things aren't going, like if something's not going right, especially like if something's like scary happening, right? I love how my instinct is to pray. And even when my faith and my walk hasn't always been there, it's where I run to. Like when I'm scared or when I need, like when I was living outside London, I didn't have my family with me. And I'm very family oriented. I love my people, but I didn't have anyone to like hug me. And it was crazy how I could listen to a song that I grew up listening to with my sister and or with my like siblings. And I would literally feel like they were with me. And like when I would pray you have like this, the prayer that you pray before you eat food.
The one that you pray really quickly.
Yeah, real quick.
It would be that I would say that prayer when I'm like about to eat, and I would laugh to myself, and I would feel like even though I weren't with my family, I could feel them with me. It's weird. Yeah, and you're right, the foundations literally are so engraved in you, and they make you feel like you're not on your own. And that's one thing that I really loved about church, is that I remember the one thing I never felt when I was young is lonely. Yeah. I never knew that feeling lonely. Really never knew it. So and good. It's weird because I've had to learn how to be okay being alone as I get older. Mm. And because life goes on, people move, like you move out your parents' house, and moving out my parents' house, like that was where I had to learn how to be okay being lonely, and I liked it. I liked learning that.
Are you gonna say something, Mama? Definitely.
I think I'm good. Abuela, you wanna go? I wanted to go off on the tangent of moving out and what that. We have 5 minutes.
It's gonna be another episode.
Yeah, sure.
But one thing I did want to say though was I think obviously like we've talked a bit about like our parents and how they weren't the best at explaining stuff. I don't know if that. I think that has a lot to do with like the fact that they come from African backgrounds. But anyway. I think even in the midst of all of that, and maybe the confusion, the package of confusion that came in, for me anyway, I feel like they gave us the greatest gift, and that was Jesus, like relationship with Jesus. Like even though it might have been a bit confusing and maybe militant, and you don't have a choice, like for me that was the best thing. It's the most precious thing I have. It literally guides and everything I do out in my life filters out of that.
Mm.
And so I think like they gave us the best that they had, the best that they knew of.
Definitely, definitely. Like that's what I was saying. It's for me, I didn't realize how much I run to it when I need it. And I love that. Mm. I've always got it when I need it. And I know how to center myself when I'm like, you know, doing certain things that I can't, that are out of my control. That's the one thing that I can control. And being able to control my emotions as well. I can find a way to control my emotions by either singing a worship song that I feel comfortable with.
Mm.
And like, I has love with me. That doesn't make sense, but yeah.
It makes sense.
It was good.
Thank you guys for coming on to our podcast. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, it was really fun.
You've been blessed to have two episodes.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
That's so good.
I feel so blessed.
Is there time to do current faves?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Yeah. We haven't got that much time. So do you guys have current faves?
Anything.
Something right now.
Anything that you think people should listen to, watch, buy.
What are you loving right now?
Oh, I have a really good skincare that I've been loving. It's been really nourishing my skin. It's the Le Chez Le Pousset, that annoying French. It's,
oh, La Roche.
That's the one. La Roche
something. La Roche Pousset. Okay,
you didn't hear me say that. It's some French. It's known for their SPF, but they have a really good. It's Nutrients Niche, some French name, I don't know, but it's a really intense cream that has been blessing my skin in this weather. So,
oh.
Yeah, that's what I
share. I need to check that out.
That's nice. Anybody else? Do you have one, Joyce? As a host, I feel like
it's not really acceptable, is it? I need to just create a bank of current faves.
Yeah.
But one current fave I'll say is I've been listening a lot to. This pastor called Pastor Beatrice Biamanzi.
Oh.
Yeah. And she's a Ugandan pastor. And yeah, I just love the simplicity of her messages. I think she's really passionate. I love to watch passionate people teach. And yeah, she's been really good. So yeah, guys, if you have a spare minute and getting ready in the morning and you just want, you know, have a bit of something in the background going on, you should watch.
That's nice.
Yeah, she calls herself Pastor B3, I think. Trust Ugandans to do that. My name is Pastor B3. Nice Beatrice.
Love that.
Oh, man, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. Well, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time.
Thank you.
Ah.
I was saying he was gonna reply.
Yeah. And all the time.
That is good.
Come on. Thank you guys for listening. We will speak to you next time. Bye.
Bye.